Before I read the scripture today, I'd like to just make the introduction of who's going to be leading our sermon, and it's Dr. Jim Osier. I know you're going to be delighted to hear his message that he brings us today. I've known Jim for quite a few years, but he's well known around the nation as far as being a church planter and renovating and reviving churches. And we are blessed that when they put together this team, he's the one that kind of leads that group from our conference, but that he is our main leader for the consultation team. And so we were blessed to have him. He only does two or three a year, is my understanding. And so it's a blessing that our church had the opportunity to have him. And we had a wonderful consultation team. All of the team members were strong leaders, and we're blessed to have each one of them working for our church. But I know particularly you're going to hear God speak through him today as he brings our message. So reading to you from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up to the shore, left everything, and followed him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, Kiva, thank you so much, and it's so good to be here. I tell you, I just have had such a wonderful time, and I do have the privilege. I'm in a different church almost every Sunday somewhere around the country, and I've really learned this, that wherever I go, you know, long before we had got here for worship, there were folks who came early and were fixing up things and making breakfast and getting Sunday school classrooms ready and all those behind-the-scenes things that make church as enjoyable as it can be. Would you just join me in thanking all those people? Clap loud enough if they're in the building somewhere. They know how much we appreciate them. So after the message, you're going to have the results of our prescription report. As Kiva said, we've been listening as hard as we could for over a year. And we had a chance to interview some wonderful people here. We did a workshop yesterday and got a lot of great information. And this report is going to be built on the five things that you told us you consider to be the strengths of this church. And the five things that you told us you consider to be areas of concern. And then we're going to take our experience. Our team is made up of clergy and laity from churches around the annual conference, just like this one. People who know you are in the same kind of work that you're in, the same kind of churches that you're in. And we put our thinking together and our prayer together, our hearts together. And so we'll develop five prescriptions. Now, we use that metaphor not because it means you're sick and you need to get better, but rather because you're a good, strong, healthy church and you want to get better. And just like when I start a new exercise routine, that always says, consult with your physician before you start this diet or this exercise routine. So you had the foresight to bring in this consultation team to help you assess who you are, what you're doing, and so you can get better and have great effectiveness. Now, we'll just be reading the report today. And then, as Kiva said, you'll have some town halls, and then you'll vote at a charge conference whether or not to accept the prescription report. If you accept and we always just say it's just up to you. It's not going to hurt our feelings if you decide not to for whatever reason. If you decide to accept the prescription report, you'll accept all five prescriptions. And then you'll have a coach for the next 12 to 18 months, paid for by the annual conference, to walk alongside Kiva and you as a church to be sure that you fulfill those prescriptions. Because we don't want one of those situations where there's been a lot of work and a report and it sits on a shelf and nobody ever sees it. So for accountability purposes, we only pay our coach if he is willing to make sure that the prescriptions get fulfilled. Keith, stand up here. Keith Head would be your coach. Keith is a retired Methodist pastor, served churches just like this, and an outstanding guy. So if you accept the report, he'll be your coach. Give him a hand. Thank you. And so now if you, for whatever reason, decide not to accept the report, that's okay. You get all the results of the work, all the homework, all the studies, everything. But if you decide not to accept the report, then we step out of the process and you won't have Keith as your coach. But you can do with the material as you would like and try to do the best you can to fulfill them on your own. So that'll be right after I finish preaching. But I wanted to share with you this morning my great appreciation. You know, you have made me and all of our team feel so welcome. And you've talked with us. We've gotten stories about the building of this beautiful sanctuary and stories of your church's history and stories of you and people who have born in this church, moved away, came. We just did so many wonderful family stories. And I'm a guy, I got to tell you, I love family stories. In my family, we tell this story. I don't know if it's true or not, but I grew up with it, about my dad, who is multiply handicapped from birth. And how my dad, you know, just like every teenage boy, when he heard a certain age, his heart started beating fast when he met Sylvia, who later became my mother. And they tell about how they had their first, like, serious date. Now, I got to set the stage for you. I grew up in rural Illinois. And and where my dad lived, there was this long lane that had the farmhouse. And on either side of the lane were cornfields. At the end of the lane was the pond, and next to the pond was the mulberry tree. And for generations, some of you guys will remember doing this, for generations the men would always carve the heart in that mulberry tree and the initials of their sweetheart. So Dad was, they were up there having lemonade on an afternoon, and it was almost dark, and so Dad just announced, well, we're going to go to the mulberry tree, which meant this is serious. Unfortunately, he kind of made a tactical error because my dad's younger brother, my Uncle Gene, ran around those cornfields to the pond, to the mulberry tree, and climbed up into that mulberry tree. And by the time my dad, who had to walk with crutches, by the time he and Sylvia could get there and sit down, it was almost dark, and the moon was beginning to come up over the cornfields, and Dad pulled Sylvia close to him, and he looked up at the moon, and he said, "Shiny moon high above. Should I kiss the one I love?" Because that's the way Midwesterners in love talk. He said, "Shiny moon high above, should I kiss the one I love?" And they were rather shocked when they heard a voice, "Lover boy down below, pucker up and let her go." Now, I don't know if that's a true story, but I know this is true. I know you love the Lord. And I know you love the church. But friends at Henrietta, it's time to pucker up and let her go. To plant a passionate kiss of the grace of Jesus Christ right on the cheek of Henrietta and all of Clay County. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's why you've asked us to be here. You have the heart. You have the desire. You just ask us to help some direction. And so it's a privilege to be here. To be with you as you pucker up and let her go. As you make a difference right here. So that's what I want to share with you this morning. About some of this direction. Now, Jennifer told the story to the kids so beautifully. Kiva read it so wonderfully. Let me just give you the grown-up version. Jesus, you see, was already a popular preacher. And he was about to meet a fisherman by the name of Simon. And we call him Simon the fearful fisherman because that's what the scriptures say in verse 10. They caught so many fish. And Simon was so afraid. And he fell down onto his knees and said, "Go away from me." I just know we work in a lot of churches, and sometimes there are some people that are a little fearful about being a part of a process like this. There are some folks that are a little fearful about doing whatever it takes to be a church that's outwardly focused and is growing. There are some, maybe you're here today just a little fearful about what this might mean for you and what you like about the church and what you like about the ministry. Maybe you're a little fearful. That's okay. Even Simon was a fearful fisherman. So I hope as this story can help maybe you deal with some of those fears as your church moves forward. You see, Jesus was already a very popular preacher. Great crowds followed him. And he came up to the lake, and all these people were there. And so Jesus wanted to be seen better. Now, it's just the opposite than today. Today, the speaker, me, I stand up, and the listeners, you, sit down. But in biblical days, it was just the opposite. The listeners stood up, and the speaker sat down. So Jesus wanted to be seen better. So he sees a couple of fishermen there, and they've got their boats, and he's going to get into their boat so he can get out into the water where he can be better seen. Now, before we get too far into going fishing for other people here in Henrietta and Clay County, let's just remember what Jesus did. You see, he saw these two boats on the shore, half on the shore, half on the water. Off to the side are their nets, where the nets have been cleaned and washed and mended and braided and made healthier. And Jesus stepped into the boat. Now, you've done this, haven't you? When you step into a boat that's about half into the water and half into the on the bank, it's not a solid thing, is it? It kind of shakes. It kind of rocks. And I just want to say, dear friends here at Henrietta, before you can go out and catch more fish, you've got to be sure Jesus has stepped into your boat, individually and as a church. And when Jesus steps into your life, it shakes everything up, doesn't it? When Jesus steps into your life, you become a better father, a better mother. When Jesus steps into life, you become a better kid. When Jesus steps into your life, you become a better citizen. You see, it changes everything. As a matter of fact, I like to say it like this. If your boat ain't been rocked, you're still docked. My friends, before we can go out, let's be sure Jesus has come in. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So this starts with us and our heart as people and as the church. So Jesus gets into the boat, and we have no idea what Jesus said that day, but I'm sure it was powerful. And when he finished preaching, he said to the disciples, push out so we can catch some fish. And the disciples said, now look, you're a really good speaker, and you're really inspirational, but you don't know anything about fishing because we've been fishing all night, and we haven't caught a thing. Which, incidentally, is the first time in recorded history when a fisherman told the truth. He said, we haven't caught a thing. Now, here's why they said that. You see, in biblical days, I've done this. I had the privilege of doing this. The fishermen fished mainly at night. And they fished in very shallow water. Because in the light of the moonlight, they could see fish moving in the shallows. And the fish would move into the shallow water, right up close to the bank where the water's the warmest. That's where photoplankton and little fish live. And the bigger fish come in to eat the little fish, and the bigger fish come in to eat the bigger fish. So the fishermen are in the boat. The moonlight's shining down like under this beautiful dome. And then somebody would see they'd see the swirl of a fish or the back of a fish moving. And he'd yell out, fish! And the disciples would jump out of the boat about knee deep in water. They would slosh over there, take the net, they'd throw it as close to the bank as they could get it. They'd pull it back in, have the fish climb back into the boat. That's how they fished. And Jesus said, go deep. Go deep. Now, my friends, you know this message. The church has spent far too many decades, the last few decades, staying in shallow water. And Jesus is coming right now to Henrietta to say, if you want to catch new fish, go deep. And the disciples said, the fishermen said, that's not the way you do it. You don't catch fish that way. Jesus is here to say, if you're going to try to catch fish, you got to try something new, something different. You've got to become more intentional. You've got to be willing to take the risk to follow what Jesus said. Go deep. So you've asked this team to come. And our prescriptions are the prescriptions you're going to hear Keith read in just a few minutes are going to be in asking you, go deep to do some things to catch new fish. And so they went deep. They couldn't jump out of the boat. They throw their net in. They catch so many fish. Their nets begin, as the kid said, to break. Simon calls for his buddies. Hey, the fish are over here. All the other buddies come over. Everybody's catching fish. And their nets begin to break. Friends, I want you to know, here's what your prescriptions are. They're your net. They're here. The prescriptions are going to help weave processes and people and the power of the Holy Spirit together like a net. And that's how you catch fish. As a matter of fact, Henrietta, you probably catch more fish than you realize. Over the years, you probably have more first-time guests than you realize. The question is, will they get away? Will your nets break? You see, when you have strong nets, strong processes, people, and the power of the Holy Spirit woven together, then you can keep the fish you catch. And that's how you cultivate them into becoming disciples once you've caught them. Am I making sense? So friends, your prescriptions are going to be a net for you. They fall down. Simon falls to his knees. Oh, Lord, go away. Go away from me. I'm not sure why he said that. That's kind of the biblical way of saying, I can't believe it. This guy's so incredible. And Jesus said, look, Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to catch people, men and women. From now on, you're going to catch people. And immediately, says the scripture, they left their nets and they followed Jesus. And you've just heard the story of some of the first disciples being called. Dear friends, we've got a fish. We can't wait. Henriette, it's time to pucker up and let her go. I'm a retired preacher back in Dallas. I pastored in Flower Mound, Texas, a fast-growing community. We had a pretty fast-growing church. And our main campus, we averaged 1,500 people a week in worship. Now, for a Methodist church, that's a pretty good-sized church, wouldn't you say? But just think about this. Every week, the United Methodist Church loses a worshiping congregation the size of the one I pastored. 1,500 people a week go off of our rolls. And almost all 1,500 go off the rolls of a Methodist church only because they have gone on to God's greater glory in heaven. How are we going to replace them unless we go deep and realize to catch new fish means fishing in different ways. Ways that might even make us uncomfortable. And we've got to reach a new generation. Don't think this is just a Methodist problem. Consider this. Not one county in the United States of America, not one, reports more Christians today than 10 years ago. Oh, dear friends. Can I just look you in the eye? I'm just hardly getting to know you, but can we just acknowledge, can we just admit that good-hearted, wonderful Christian folk have gotten a little complacent about fishing for new people. We've just kind of thought they'd jump into our boat. The fastest growing religion in America today, per capita, is no longer Catholicism. It's no longer Protestantism. It's Islam. Friends, we got to pucker up. We got to realize that Jesus is calling us to be fishers. Follow me and I'll make you. 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 Can I just say, if somebody's going to be driving out of town this afternoon, maybe Kiva can't say this, but I can tell you this. If we're not fishing, are we really following? I've read this Bible many times, as have you. Never once does Jesus say, follow me and I will make you the best committee chairperson in the world. As important as that may be. Never once did Jesus say, follow me and I'll make you the best singer in the world. As important as that may be. Never once did Jesus say, follow me and I'll make you the best preacher in the world. As important as that may be. Jesus has one essential and it's clear in the scripture from beginning to end. Follow me and I'll make you. Follow me and I'll make you. Follow me and I'll make you. If we're not fishing, are we really following? As you discover God's will for the life of this church and for you, I can tell you, it's going to be go fishing and go deep. Oh, we just can't wait. Fishing equals following. I learned this in a painful way. My church is over in Flower Mound, about an hour and a half north on 35. We go into Oklahoma to beautiful Lake Murray. Some of you might have been to Lake Murray. It's a great place. I used to take my kids there. We could go fishing in the lake and have a wonderful time. They got some little campgrounds. And I could be back within an hour and a half back to my church in Flower Mound. I said that I have four kids. My oldest son, Eric. My second son, Adam. My third, David. And our sweet little baby girl, Katie. And so I said, look, you got to be back at the car at 5 o'clock so I can be at my important finance committee meeting at the church at 7:30. And so we had a good day. Everybody's out playing. 5 o'clock. Adam's there. David's there. Katie's there. But my trouble kid, Eric, was nowhere to be found. And so I honked the horn. And I was getting a little irritated, looking at my watch, because I knew I had to leave pretty quick. And nowhere to be found. Finally, I started hollering, "Eric! Eric! Eric!" And other people saw that we couldn't find our kid. And now it was getting late in the afternoon, late in the evening, and clouds were rolling in, and thunder was coming, and we could hear it, and lightning was striking down. It began to pour down rain. People are driving all through the campground, "Eric! Eric! Eric!" looking for my lost son. I wandered through the campground down these little trails right to the edge of the lake, and I finally just sat down on a stump. And I said, "Now, wait a minute. It's not my fault that Eric's wandered away and gotten lost. It's not my fault. He knew the rules. He knew he was supposed to be back at 5 o'clock. It's not my fault. And besides, what if he's wandered off and something terrible happens and I never see him again? I still have 3 kids that love me a lot." So we just packed up and left. Now, if I'd really done that, you'd think me a terrible person, wouldn't you? But come on, church. In some ways, isn't that what we've said as a church? We have a whole generation of 18 to 35-year-old people. We've said they know the rules. They know how church is supposed to sound. They know how it's supposed to look. They know how they're supposed to dress. They know how they're supposed to talk. They know what the music's supposed to be like. And besides, what if they, because they've wandered off and left us and we never see them again, they never come back to church, we still have these wonderful people that love us a lot. And so the church just goes off on its busyness, doing so many things, except fishing for this generation who so desperately seek meaning and purpose in life and want to make a difference. We can't wait. That's why you've asked us to be here. We're going to share some prescriptions, some nets for you to go deep and to fish. And here's why you can do this. You see, you can catch new fish. You can. You can. You can. Even better than Kiva or your staff. And incidentally, would you just thank Kiva and your staff? I've just been so impressed with the wonderful people in this church. Would you thank them? You can catch more fish because you were once fish yourself, weren't you? Somebody caught you. That's why you're here today. Maybe some silver-haired old Sunday school teacher when you were a little kid. Maybe an old preacher, the youth leader. Maybe it was your aunt, your uncle, your mom, your dad, but somebody caught you. That's why you're here. Actually, would you take just a moment and bow your head? I want to just ask you, would you just look in your heart to the person who caught you? You may not even remember that person's name. But you know, people have been fishing in this church for a long, long time. Would you try to think, who caught you? For whatever reason, people have been here and they've left. They've passed on to God's kingdom in heaven. Maybe they got mad and left. Maybe they moved and left. But on those shoulders, this church has been built. Let's remember them. Gracious God, I thank you for the people who have been fishing for so many generations. Decades and decades and decades. I thank you for the person who caught each and every individual here. We may not remember their name. We may not remember the circumstance, but you put them in our life. Because of them, we're here today. In our gracious Lord's name, thank you and amen. And now, dear friends, it's your turn to go fishing, to catch a new generation, to do everything you possibly can to be sure that your nets don't break, that you're ready. You can do this. That's why we're here. I started in the ministry when I was a junior in high school. Stayed at a little church in Latham, Illinois for 2 years. I went on to college, and one of the high school girls at the church told me she had this dream about me. And I was just a couple of years older than her. She said, I went off to Eastern Illinois University, the home of Tony Romo. And she said one weekend, instead of driving into town in my little blue Volkswagen, I came galloping into town on a gallant white stallion. And I was all decked out in a suit of shining armor. She said, I rode up under a window and I called for her maiden to come down. And in her dream, you know, like in medieval days, she came down and she got on the back of the horse. And she said, we rode through the little town of Latham and out onto the highway. And she could feel the breeze and the wind in her face and her hair. And as we came to the nearest big town, Decatur, Illinois, the road split. There was the business route and the through route. And she said in her dream, she just tapped me on the back of the helmet. She said, oh, fair and young and handsome noble knight. Yes, I said. She said, which way are we going to go? And Janet said, I just turned around and said, my dear, I'm just riding the horse. You are dreaming the dream. It's been such fun being here with you this weekend. But, hey, our team is just riding the horse. You're dreaming the dream. Which way are you going to go? I mean, this morning. Starting today, when you go out those doors, one road says, let's just keep doing church the way we've been doing church and hope fish will jump into our boat. And the other way says, let's take the road of being willing to go deep and do whatever it takes to catch new fish for Jesus Christ. One road leads to, hey, let's just be content with being a nice little county church. And another road leads to, let's be missionaries for Jesus Christ. Let's dig out the hurts and the needs and the pains of everybody in Clay County. Let's dig out the needs and the hurts and the dreams and the desires of the kids in the schools. Let's dig out the desires of our neighbors who we hardly even know. And become a church that goes deep and goes fishing. I'm in your corner. Cheering you on. But it's your dream. You've been great. Thank you. God bless.